Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you now. I just thank you for today. I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I just pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have prepared for us today in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, turn in your Bibles to Amos chapter 5 as we take a look at this week's message. Now, if you don't know where Amos is, it's near the end of the Old Testament. It's the second book before the book of Job and right after the book of Joel. So go ahead and turn there. You know, the times we're living in seem to be very confusing right now. Staying at home and locked in our houses seems like it's been an eternity. There's anxious kids and nervous energy all around. We're all trying to keep things normal, you know, working from home or streaming movies on demand, keeping us up to date with the news and the weather and all these different things. We just try to keep our minds occupied. Well, lately, it seems like the more that I watch the news and see all these things happening in the world, the more that I start wanting to long for the day of Jesus' return. I keep thinking, what an amazing moment that will be. All of my suffering will be over. I won't have to endure this fallen earth any longer. I think, you know, the rapture sounds great, according to most pastors who preach about it. But the word rapture is actually never found in the Bible. Where it comes from is the moment when Christ returns. Now, Paul writes about it in the New Testament, and we can read it in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. It says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." You see, the idea of the rapture comes from the phrase in verse 17, "We who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." You know, this paints a picture of those who believe in Jesus being swept up in an instant to be with the Lord. But notice, Paul's not saying to long for that day to come. No, he's saying to encourage one another with these words. Why? Well, if you look back at verse 13, there's the answer. "So that you know there's hope, that not only is there life after death, but those who believe in Jesus, it will be a life with him forever." We're encouraged to know that those who have died already in Christ will also be with him. Think about it. That statement right there, that should eliminate all of our fears and cares in this world. We're going to be with Christ forever. So why doesn't Paul encourage the believers to long for this day of the Lord's return? Well, to find out, we need to jump to our passage in Amos chapter 5, starting with verse 18. Here we hear the Lord Almighty himself talking about that day and how he gives us a harsh warning. He says, "Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man flees from a lion, only to be met by a bear. As though he enters his house and rests his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Pitch dark, without a ray of brightness. I despise your religious feasts. Your assemblies are stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus." Don't you see? The day of the Lord's coming is not going to be pretty. This will not be a day of rejoicing. This will be a day of weeping and sorrow. Once this day comes, that's it. There's no more chances to repent or turn to God or accept Jesus as your Savior. It's game over. You know, in Isaiah chapter 24, it also talks about this time. In verse 1, it says, "See, the Lord is going to lay waste to the earth and devour it. He will ruin its face and scatter its inhabitants. It will be the same for priest as for people, for the master as for his servant, for the mistress as for her servant, for seller as for buyer, for borrower as for lender, for debtor as for creditor. The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken this word. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish with the earth. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear the guilt. Therefore, earth's inhabitants are burned up, and very few are left." Not the picture that most of us have of the rapture, is it? Burned up people and only a few people are left? This isn't a day I would want to wish on anybody. You know, when I read this, I just want to cry out to God, "Lord, please have mercy on us. Forgive us of cheating on you, turning from you and following the lusts of our own flesh. God, forgive us for selling ourselves out to things of this world." You know, picture this day through God's eyes. This is a day that he will have to destroy his creation, the one thing that he loves so much that he sent his only son to die for us, but this creation has still rejected him. Now he has to righteously judge them. Think of the pain and sorrow, the grief of God. Can't you see why he's been holding off for so long? He wants all to come to him. But you see, our world has become so perverse that they hate God. But when he pours out his wrath so that they might repent and run to him, instead, what do? They despise him, and they look for any other way to get out of their situation rather than falling on their knees and repenting. You know, in this troubling season we're living in, where we see this worldwide quarantine and struggle for control of the world's power, it's easy as couch potato Christians to just sit around and say, "Okay, Lord, get me out of here." Well, what's a couch potato Christian? Well, nowadays, we're so spoon-fed the Bible, it seems like we're just sitting around on our couch. We get spoon-fed by our pastors, by our priests. We sit in our churches, and now we're sitting on our phones watching social media and watching others tell us about Christ. Well, you know, that's okay, but God wants us to be engaged with him personally, not just to be entertained. Why? Because he wants to share his heart with you. And once you feel his love for those who are lost, you too will want to get off the couch and do whatever it takes to wake them up, to show them that it's not too late to repent. Church, now is our time to shine for Jesus. When people are hungering for the real truth, they're hungering for it right now. We need to step up and give them the real hope, not wait for your pastor or someone else to do it. Let the love of God burn within you so much that you can't contain it. Share the truth about him and what is about to come, and how to get right and restored to God. You have the key to their salvation. Don't hold it ransom. Share it with them. Now is your time. Don't let fear get in the way. This is your calling. God has prepared you for this moment. He set you on this earth in this time. You weren't brought here for any other time, but this time. He wants you to do mighty works for his kingdom that he has set aside before time was even time. Don't be afraid to step into your calling right now and share your love with those around you. Don't try to go back to what's normal. Push forward towards the finish line and be encouraged to know that you've already won. Show others how to win the race as well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please help us not go back to the norm. Help us to see your day of return is coming, and you command us to go share the gospel and make disciples. Lord, thank you for equipping us with your Holy Spirit so that we're not trying to do this in our own strength or in fear, but boldly stand on the truth of your words and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that those who have rejected you, Lord, soften their hearts. Let them turn from their prideful, sinful ways. May they seek you and believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. May they repent of their ways and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I choose you, not my wicked ways. Lord, you died for all of us. Remind us of these things when things start to get worse. Remind us to show love and forgiveness towards others around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.